You're listening to episode 316 of the Building Psychological Strength podcast, where we uncover the information, tools, and techniques to turn our mind into our most valuable asset. Welcome back to the Building Psychological Strength podcast. On this podcast, we explore the very nature of our minds, how they work, and how they shape our life experience. We believe that life is finite and precious. We know that our minds provide a powerful lens through which we experience the world. And we choose to take responsibility for building psychological strength to craft a life experience that's worth living. I'm Dr. April, a social cognitive psychologist and life design strategist, and I'm so glad you're here. Ashley and I have been doing quite a few workshops these days centered around what psychological strength is and what the components are that make it up. And there's one component that consistently generates more confusion and more questions than any of the others. And that topic or that component is mindfulness. Now, the skill of mindfulness sits at the center of our wheel of psychological strength. And it's the core of psych strength for a really good reason. The thing is, you need strong mindfulness skills to develop skills in any and all of the other areas. So your relationship with your thoughts, it relies on mindfulness. Your, you know, emotional intelligence, your relationship with your own emotion, mindfulness is the foundation of that. Mindfulness impacts your relationships, your sense of self, it interacts with your habits and your behavior, and it's an important component in life design. It really is the core of everything about psychological strength. However, it frequently gets confused with sort of other skills and techniques in the same genre. Specifically, and one that I want to talk about today, is visualization. So in today's episode, I want to dig into these two concepts a little bit, mindfulness and visualization, and I want to give you a solid understanding about what each of them is. We're going to talk about ways that they're similar. More importantly, we're going to talk about ways that they're different, and we're going to talk about when to use each one of them because they're both useful for very different things. Let's dive in. What comes to mind when you think about mindfulness? Many people immediately jump to meditation, and you're not necessarily wrong if that's where your mind went. Meditation is one really common way to practice and develop mindfulness skills. So put simply, mindfulness is just our ability to psychologically and mentally be in the present moment. It sounds really straightforward and easy when you put it that way, doesn't it? I mean, I'm here now, right? Like, here I am. But it turns out we spend most of our awake hours thinking about the past or about the future. And when you talk to psychologists and neuroscientists, they'll point towards something called the default mode network as the culprit here. So this is what makes us think about the past, think about the future, really be caught up in our thoughts most of our waking hours. And if you want to know a little bit more about the default mode network, it's the medial prefrontal cortex, the posterior cingulate cortex, and the angular gyrus. So if you want to do some Googling, Google those things and Google default mode network. Anyway, okay, the default mode network, it becomes active when we're technically awake, but we're not fully engaged with the present moment. So when our mind wanders, when we get caught up in thought, when we plan, when we replay past events, when we worry about the future, when we predict what might happen, and so many other things, we're engaged with our default mode network. And there's something important here. It's called the default mode network because this is our mind's default way of existing. By default, we are caught up in our thoughts. By default, we are not mindful. So why does all of that matter? The thing is, when we're engaged with our default mode network, so again, most of the time, this means that we're not being mindful. And this is the case, like I said, for the vast majority of the time that we're awake. Our default state is to be lost in thought. I mean, think about it. We've said it over and over on the podcast. Our minds are thought-generating machines. So if you go back to the concept of mindfulness, what mindfulness refers to is the not default, the opposite, when we're not lost in thought, when we're actively and fully in the present moment. And again, this is important. Let's go even deeper here. The more we learn from psych research and the more confident we are, like the more research that comes out, it just keeps compounding the fact that mindfulness is not our mind's natural state, but the more we can achieve it and the more we practice it, the more easily we can slide back into being mindful, the more mentally healthy and well that we feel. So let's go back to the two concepts that I wanted to tease apart with this episode, mindfulness and visualization. When we're mindful, we're mentally in the present moment. We're unhooked from our thoughts. Now, in contrast, when we visualize, we're actively engaged with our thoughts. We're following our thoughts and we're using them for a specific purpose, maybe to conjure up images or situations or feelings. So from that perspective, these two concepts, mindfulness and visualization, are kind of opposite concepts from one another to some extent. And so I'm going to give you a really straightforward example. You know, I mentioned that meditation is one way that we build mindfulness. The most basic form of meditation, and typically when you get started in meditation and you do some initial Googling and maybe you try it out on an app or something like that for the first time, the first one that most people run into and learn is Vipassana meditation. And in Vipassana, it's very simplistic. You simply direct your attention typically to your breath, and you attempt to focus it there. Now, your mind does its job. It sends you thoughts, and when they arise, typically you get caught up in them. It's just so natural, right? It's our default to do that. You move to the default. So thoughts arise. You notice that you're caught up in them. Sometimes it takes a while in the beginning, but then your job in Vipassana is to direct your attention back to your breath and back to the present moment. So you do this as you sit in Vipassana meditation. You do this over and over again. So over and over, you get caught up in your thoughts, and over again, you realize it after some amount of time, sometimes quickly, a second or two, sometimes it'll be several minutes before you realize it. But over and over again, you direct your mind back to the present moment. And after many, many repetitions, over months or even years of that, your mind begins to more naturally live in the present moment. It becomes easier for you to recognize when you're not being mindful. So again, like you'll get caught up in your thoughts, but the realization will come more quickly that that has happened, and it'll be easier to direct your way back to your breath. Now, if you contrast that, this Vipassana meditation that I just talked about, if you contrast that with visualization, you can start to see the stark difference here. So in visualization, typically you're either directed to think about a situation or play a scenario in your mind, or you might be actively guided through a fictitious experience with the goal of being as immersed in that situation as possible. It's almost the exact opposite of the goal with Vipassana meditation and a bit at odds with the practice of building mindfulness. If you're intentionally putting yourself in a situation that is not the present, if you're intentionally hooking onto your thoughts, by design, by definition, you're not in the present moment. And now I don't want you to get the wrong idea here. So let me just make this very clear. There is incredible utility to visualization. I'll get to that in just a second. So put a pin in that note, but just know there's amazing value you can get from a visualization practice. But I want to draw a really clear distinction between mindfulness practices like meditation or Vipassana, like we talked about, and practices like visualization. And the reason for this goes all the way back to how I introduced this episode. If you look at the psych strength wheel, you see that mindfulness sits at the core. And when we talk about building mindfulness skills for the purposes of psych strength, we're focused on your ability or building your ability to keep your attention in the present moment, to unhook from your thoughts. To put it simply, as you know, amazing meditation practitioners have said it, to be here now. What we're not referring to is your ability to visualize something that might happen in the future. It's a really different skill for a very different purpose. And it's important that you know this because, hey, you're here, right? You're interested in psych strength. So if your goal is to develop the core skill that all of the other psych strength skills are built off of, visualization, it's just not the best way to do that. Rather, an activity like Vipassana meditation, being focused on your breath, being focused on a particular object, being focused on, you know, sensations that your body might be feeling, the weight of your body, being focused on sounds in the room. I mean, it really doesn't have to be just your breath to build this type of mindfulness, but the point is you're focused on something that is here in the present moment, and what you are trying to not do is get hooked from your thoughts, right? So that type of activity, that type of meditation or mindfulness skill, that's really the way to go for psych strength. Practicing visualization sometimes can get confused with meditation or sometimes used interchangeably. And I wanted to take some time this week because we've been hearing this so often over and over again. I want to tease those concepts apart to make sure that you're really making the most of your psych strength practice. So you're probably asking, okay, awesome. How do we do that? And how do we move forward? That is exactly where we're going to go next. I want to start with visualization. And I'm afraid that I might have given it a bad reputation or described it in a way that is less than rosy. And that's really not what I meant to do. The main thing I want you to know about it is that it's not what we're talking about when we reference mindfulness at the core of psych strength. That being said, though, visualization is an amazing tool for other purposes. So if you look at research as early as this year, 2021, it shows the utility of using visualization, or sometimes people use the words mental imagery, to improve performance. So sports performance, for example. And I'll actually link to a study if you just want to go peek at it in this episode description. So you can scroll down and look for that if you want to. So visualization can be really great for helping you build performance because it helps put you in a situation where you need to perform in the future and kind of gets you used to it. So you've probably heard of, you know, professional athletes or high-level athletes like Michael Phelps who do this type of practice. There's research backing that up. That's a visualization or a mental imagery practice. Visualization is also really a powerful tool for life design, but it's a different tool than the way that we've used mindfulness in life design. So if you think about the life design process, toward the end of the process, as you're starting to take action, we tend to do some experimentation. So rather than making big, sweeping, scary, risky changes with our lives, we tend to experiment instead. We test our way forward. And visualization can be a really powerful tactic for doing exactly that. It can be a powerful way to sort of try on a new role or a situation by putting yourself in it and paying attention to how it makes you feel. Or it can help you anticipate what fears you might experience. It's also a great way of learning what is a real yes for you versus what is a real no for you. I'm going to take a quick personal detour. This is something I really struggle with. As a person who tends to be very, quote, in my head, I'm a big planner, I'm a big strategizer, I think about how I'm going to get things done, efficiency, stuff like that. That puts me in my head a lot, which means I'm not really in my body very often. So sometimes it can be hard for me to tell, like if someone says, hey, do you want to go do, you know, and then they name something, I immediately go to, oh, well, how can I do that? How can I fit that in? Sort of the tactics and the cognition of it all, rather than getting present, visualizing myself in that situation and listening to my body to say, does it feel like something I want to do? Does that situation feel like one that I want to be in? So I wanted to make that really clear because visualization is a really powerful way of experimenting in life design. So I definitely suggest you try it for that. And the last thing that I'll say about visualization is that it tends to be really enjoyable for people. I mean, it's engaging. It's allowing your mind to be active, which again, default mode network, that's what it inherently likes to be. And two, with visualization, so the example that I just gave about trying on a new situation, feeling your body and seeing if it feels like a yes or a no, are you actually excited or not? You get an immediate outcome from it in the form of, you know, feedback or insight into how you'd, you know, you uniquely, how you would react in that situation. It can be really satisfying. So let's contrast that with meditation now. Most people, when they first begin, I mean, let's just be honest, they really hate it. They really hate meditation. I mean, let's be realistic. It's boring. You're just sitting there, right? You just sit there. And not only that, but once you've done it, why is it that you hate it? It's because your mind won't shut up. You start to see just how often our thoughts intrude and how super annoying it is. The sentence that I've heard more times than I can count is, oh my God, I can't make my mind go blank. I hear it all the time. And the thing is, when you're sitting there and you're quiet and you're focused on sounds in the room or your breath or something like that in the present moment, you see just how often your thoughts intrude. You also start to see how often they're negative or unhelpful. It's just not that fun, especially in the beginning. But regardless of how unfun it is, it's important. You can liken meditation, it's as though, you know, it's kind of like eating your vegetables. It's not as much fun as eating chocolate cake, but it's a necessary activity to maintain your well-being. So in sum, you're here, you're listening to the Building Psych Strength podcast. So if that's what you want to be doing, if you want to practice and build psych strength, you need to practice true mindfulness. Meditation is a great option. Vipassana is a great option. If you want to do something else like increase performance, or you want to experiment with new realities for life design purposes, visualization is a great option. So two different techniques, they do two different things, but they get confused with each other so often. And so I wanted to make sure that we teased that out today. And before we close out, I want to talk about a few resources that you can use to build true mindfulness, the mindfulness that we would see as the core of psychological strength. Okay, I've got a few additional resources to help you go deeper, all of which are linked in this episode description and on the show notes page. I'm going to be blunt again. People hate meditating. They hate it. And I already went through a bunch of reasons why. But if this describes you, you might actually enjoy episode 239 of the podcast. That podcast is titled How to Not Hate Meditation, and it's linked in this episode description. We know we're being realistic. Not everybody likes to eat their vegetables. Not everybody likes to meditate. So hopefully that episode will give you some good reasons or good tips for getting started and not hating it as much. Also, if you want a tool to help you get started, episode 157 of the podcast features a guest called named Cheryl B. Engelhart. She is a musician, and she released a beautiful album called Luminary. It's music for the purpose of mindfulness. It is stunning. And you can find her episode linked in the show notes below as well. Additionally, the end of that episode has a full track from her album. You can find it on Spotify as well, but you can catch a full track from that album. It's just gorgeous. And it's so nice for helping you stay in the present moment. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please consider leaving a rating or a review on iTunes, or consider sending this episode to somebody that you love. P.S. If somebody sent this to you, it probably means that they think the world of you. And finally, let's remember that time is the most non-renewable resource on the planet. And I'm so grateful to each and every one of you who chose to spend some of your precious time with me today. I'm Dr. April Seifert, and I'll see you next week.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get one-pound packages of juicy 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $3.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.